Varel, the Raptors are finally back in Toronto after 18 long months apart from the city. The last time they were here, they played the Utah Jazz, going strong in the Western Conference. Rudy Gobert showed off his mental prowess, licking all the microphones to prove that COVID wasn't indeed an infectious virus. But the Raptors emerged victorious, of course, with a very, very experienced roster. And at the time, with a 46-18 record, a team that looked like it really wanted to go back to back with Kawhi. But that, of course, is all in the past. They open tonight in the six against Washington with a brand new team, a new style of team. All 6'7" to 6'9" players, the majority of the squad, of course. But, Varel, to discuss it with me, you're just going to drop in some nuggets of wisdom. That's what the listeners have missed over the last few months or so. It's been a quiet offseason, apart from the Kyle Lowry trade. And we hope you enjoyed that episode. But, Varel, talk to me. What are we saying about Toronto this season?
What a season for us to go into. I mean, thank God, like you said, we're back in Toronto. We even had Drake on the airwaves in the preseason. Feels like things are back to normal for this team somewhat. You know, we've had a nice rest. You know, we've recuperated. We've improved our Raptors knowledge even further. That's all we were furiously working on in the past 6 weeks.
I mean, Varel, do you want to remind probably the listeners, we did some external research on one of our new signings. Of course, we even paid a trip to his home country.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, I mean, unfortunately, we did not get to see Goran Dragic face to face. But Kamel was talking about our trip to Slovenia, which was really, really beautiful country. We'd recommend it to everyone. But we were following the trail closely. We were hounding the streets of Slovenia to ask about Goran Dragic's whereabouts. But they all seemed to want to talk about Luka Doncic instead. And so we were informed, actually, that Luka and Goran had both visited the capital city, I think, a couple of days before we arrived, Kamil.
So yeah, not long at all.
We just missed both of them. But yeah, I mean, let's call it, let's put it under, you know, journalistic expenses, that trip we had to Slovenia. But
of course, my boss is listening, but let's move strictly on. Actually, what happens is Dragic does have his own specific sponsored court in the middle of Tivoli Park in Ljubljana. And I was able to visit that on the last day, really showing what impact he's also had on his city. Of course, his Raptors career didn't start too well. He didn't endear himself to the fans too much, saying perhaps he had more ambition than to join a rebuilding side like Toronto. Now, that's never going to go down well. He's since apologized for that. He's since shown up in preseason with a great attitude. And he's gone from going from a guy you're sort of looking to cut or buy out to maybe someone who can be a very valuable flip at the trade deadline. But we'll go into Dragic a little bit later. I want to talk mainly, and I think the fans really want to know about Scottie Barnes. The episode we did about him a few months ago, straight after the draft, I think it's fair to say we were both fairly confused. We were both doubting the choice a little bit. Maybe I don't speak for you. Maybe you knew Scottie Barnes had this in him all along. But what Masai Ujiri seems to have drafted is a 6'7" point guard, playmaking four, who has all the potential in the world to go all NBA defense, to be a great scoring machine, to be brilliant in the half court and transition. And he's only 20 years old, and this is going into his first season. So, Scottie Barnes, initially, were you so hot on him? I can't recall from that episode if you were going for Suggs or Barnes.
You know what, Kamel? I think we had one episode where we discussed where we thought like the top five or six would fall. I don't think we actually discussed Scottie Barnes.
No, we put Kuminga ahead of him, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we put one or two ahead of him. But when the pick actually happened, well, yeah, the reason we didn't discuss him, we just didn't think he was really in the conversation. When the pick actually happened, I do remember I was I believe I partook in some sobering commentary, because I actually thought, you know what, not a bad pick, because it's in the mold of player that we've really liked as a franchise in the past couple of years. So. Yeah, I did understand, right? So somebody who, with a little bit more shooting, is perhaps somebody a little bit more flashy, is perhaps what we as fans were hoping for when the pick was originally made. So Suggs obviously filled that category. But this is a team that wants 15 players all to be 6'9" and athletic. And
it's true. I mean, like I said at the start of the episode, it's become more than a meme. 12 of those 15 players remaining are between 6'7 and 6'9. It's a very rare trait in a squad, I think.
Yeah. I think he showed so much potential. The playmaking, ball handling, defensive prowess. I think basically all of our roster, you can probably point to and say, yeah, they have those characteristics. And some of them have, shot making as complementary pieces to their game. But yeah, we seem to be, it's almost like we're part of this revolutionary phase, Kamel, because I think it is revolutionary what the Raptors have tried to build this year. And so we'll have to see how this experiment works out. I want to see, you know what, Kamel? Okay, with Scottie Barnes, okay, he wasn't knocking down the three in the preseason, but he was doing everything else pretty well, like you mentioned. What I'd like to see is, once we actually have, goodness me, I'm actually forgetting his name. Who is our 6'9" star power forward, Kamel?
Is it Pascal Siakam?
Mr. Pascal. Let's see how this team looks when he comes back, because his presence in that paint area, that's where he gets his points, in that low block in the post, especially on transition as well. So he's going to prevent the likes of Scottie Barnes, the likes of OG Anunoby, as we know, like OG also likes to post up as well. He's going to prevent those guys from, let's say, making the most of what their strengths are, you know? So when he comes back into the team, let's see how this team functions, because I still don't think we have quite enough outside shooting this year, despite the developments we've seen from, well, OG has looked obviously on fire from the outside, shooting generally, of course, averaging 20 points a game in the preseason. We've seen some leaps from Precious Achiuwa from his compared to his time in Miami. And this is also something that Goran Dragic himself actually referenced. He said Precious Achiuwa wasn't allowed to develop or showcase certain other aspects of his game that he's now being allowed to display here in Toronto. So Precious looks like he's maybe picked up an outside shot. Of course, we have the likes of Malachi Flynn, Freddie VanVleet. These guys can all knock the outside shot. So although some fans aren't quite so down on our ability to shoot, we have, for the past few seasons, Kamel, we have been quite a good three-point shooting team. I still think it's going to be a little bit of a problem for this team. Floor spacing, I think, is going to be an issue once we have our starting five. But yeah, we'll wait and see. How do you think, Kamel, from your perspective, how do you think Pascal's going to integrate into this system when he comes back?
Well, I doubt him and Barnes will play many minutes together. I think they'll definitely share that four position for the reasons you brought up, because I mean, they did add Mikhailuk and also Sam Decker for outside shooting, but again, they're very much specialists. They're not going to be guys you start for any 24, 36 minutes on the floor. They're very guys to come off the bench, give you a couple of quick threes, that's it. So you've got to play to your strengths, and I think we can discuss starting lineups going forward, but before that, going back to it, what the front office has done is given Nick Nurse complete control of the philosophy of this team and given him the players to do it. Of course, we talk about the size and the ability to defend 1-5 pretty much every player. So the Raptors' style and what I've observed in preseason, it's very much, if you put it in football terms, a high press. So it's a lot of turnovers on both sides, and you're getting most of your points in transition. You want to, with this roster in particular, you don't want to be creating too many half-court offense situations simply because you don't have the offensive firepower to do it. But what you do have is extremely good long defense, the ability to switch on every player. We can discuss maybe perhaps lack of a big man later, but the ability to switch on the majority of players, force turnovers, and then create those 4v3, 3v2 situations. So that's an interesting one. And I think we've discussed most of the new players. We've mentioned most of them at least. Delano Banton is definitely worth a shout.
Definitely.
Again, almost in the mold of Scottie Barnes, 6'7", and he's an actual point guard. He's not a point forward like Scottie Barnes came in the draft as. He's a real point guard, and he's a difficult character. He's raw at the minute, but he fits into this philosophy very well. So what I wanted to ask you is, what's the Raptors' strongest lineup, strongest starting five going into this season? Because when you look at it, it's not a roster packed with superstar talent, but there is so much talent 1 through 15, I think.
More than
any other year. So what are you going for 1 to 5?
Yeah, definitely. I think this is probably the deepest this team has ever looked. So you have competent players. You have basically three competent players at each position, which, forget the deepest this team's ever looked. This is one of the deepest teams ever. Like, absolutely no exaggeration when I say that. There's not a single player I look at and think, oh, like, I don't trust this guy, you know, to play 10, 15 minutes and impactful minutes in any, at least regular season game, Kamel. Sorry, before I talk about, you know, the starting five, because in my mind, actually, the starting five seems to be fairly, you know, not straightforward, but...
Ooh, that's a... That's
something,
a...
That's something that doesn't appear to be too contentious.
I mean, I would heavily disagree.
Do you think so? Okay, so...
I mean, just on let me bring up... So,
let me flip that back to you, and then
yeah, well,
maybe I'll change my opinion.
But before I give my own, I think we'll just go back. So we ran a Twitter poll quite recently, and I gave four options for starting five. By far, the most popular with every Balling in the Six listener was the following. Yeah. Van Vliet, Gary Trent Jr., OG, Siakam, yeah, and then Ken Birch.
Right.
Is that uncontentious?
Just that's the most, that's going to be the least contentious. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, you haven't got Barnes in there. Role. You haven't got Scottie Barnes in there.
Yeah, you don't have Scottie Barnes in there.
You don't have Dragic in there.
But this is, you don't.
You're missing Boucher, you're missing Precious. I mean, you're right. It's really hard to pick a starting five.
Very, very difficult.
Especially because they're all similar. You know, no one's a traditional big man here. No one's a, apart from Dragic and Van Vliet, no one's a small, really, you know, classic point guard. So it's tough.
I think, Kamel, a lot of what we're going to do next season, I think one of the key players is going to be Gary Trent. It's very obvious to say this, but he offers something obviously a little bit different with his ability to shoot off the dribble, again, to make the three ball. And his defense was very, very competent on the Trailblazers. I know it's something that he got criticized for last season. Perhaps he didn't play with the intensity that we would have liked to see from him on that end. But if, to be honest, he was just too inconsistent last year. And he didn't fit the team's play style, because we're a team, we like to play very unselfishly, move the ball around. And he, frankly, when the ball gets into his hand, he just dribbles too much. He doesn't move the ball on quickly enough. His usage rate was actually very, very high last year, but his efficiency was pretty low. And of course, last year he was in a little bit more of a difficult situation. He didn't have quite the support that he would have this season with the, you know, the depth and the talent that we have this year. And fingers crossed the lack of injuries that we're going to have this year. But if he can, you know, play more so within this system, not, you know, cut to the basket, set screens, like just do a little bit of everything, and just try and take, you know, open, uncontested shots without trying too much to create off the dribble, I think that's where he's going to see his most success, because he hasn't quite developed his game enough. That he's still 22, he's still young, so I think we could see it maybe in a couple of years' time, but he's not at the stage where he's the type of player you want him to be, you know, having eight or nine dribbles and taking a step back three, or you know, taking somebody one-on-one in the mid-range. And yeah, you know, shooting contested mid-range jumpers. He's simply not efficient enough currently to be playing like that. So I think Trent is going to be absolutely, like, how he plays next year, and whether we're like fighting for the top four seeds in the East, or whether we're just on those playoff fringes again, like we were at least during the early period of last year before our injuries.
Yeah, it's an interesting one with him as well, because, you know, he in a roster that, as we've said, is lacking perhaps the most in offensive spark. He is a guy who will just go and score on his own without needing any help. So he's very useful in that sense as well, you know, especially come playoff time. And I guess the Raptors this year would be sort of looking at that 6th, 7th, 8th seed. Unlike last year when it was pretty much just give up the game. You know, this year they're really, really looking to start climbing back into that playoff hunt. Especially with some of the Eastern teams like Philly not looking too hot at the minute for various reasons. So that is, I think that's that with Gary Trent. However, I'm not sure he makes my starting five.
Okay.
You know, I think there's been a lot of suggestions that OG should start at the two next to Van Vliet.
Wow.
That then leaves space for Barnes and Siakam to play together. And then you can fit in one of the more traditional centers like Ken Birch or Precious. So it's a curious one. Does OG have the handles? Does OG have the ability to, you know, knock down shots with that kind of efficiency? Maybe, maybe not. But, you know, if there's ever a season to sort of try it out, especially when we've seen the leaps and bounds he's taken, maybe this is it. And, you know, in true Max Kellerman contrasting style, I'm going to go for that as my starting five for this season.
And you know what, Kamel? Let's say all three of these guys, let's say OG, Pascal, and Scotty, let's say they play well next year. Then if you don't go with that lineup, you're putting yourself in the impossible situation of having to let one of them go.
Exactly. No. None of them are going to accept being benched. This is the thing.
No.
They're too good.
Yeah. I mean, even Scotty Barnes at this stage, you want him to be, like, he'd maybe want to be even starting on a, you know, non-playoff team as opposed to coming off the bench for us in terms of his development, you know?
But I mean, in any sense, with the starting five, as we said before, you trust any of the roster 1 to 15 to, you know, be playing 20 plus minutes a night. So the starting five aren't necessarily going to be playing, you know, 35 plus anyway. You know, it just depends situation. You know, we haven't even mentioned, you know, Isaac Bonga. We haven't mentioned Justin Champagny, who impressed in preseason quite a lot, actually.
Yeah.
Especially his rebounding ability. Yeah. So he's got a massive arsenal on his hands. So I'm quite excited. I'm quite excited. And I guess just to round off, I said lower playoff seats. Do you have more or less hope for this Raptors roster this going into this year?
Yeah. Extremely difficult. I think this is. Last year, the East was the strongest it's looked in, you know, 10, 15 years. This year, if, again, we didn't have this rubbish with Philadelphia going on, again, you'd say it's looking equally strong, if not stronger. Because, you know, you have the likes of the Celtics who, because they've got young stars in their team, they should be getting better and better every year. Obviously, the Nets and the Bucks look fantastic. You've got, you know what, Chicago looking very, very dangerous this year. Let's have a think. We have the likes of the Hawks, who obviously got to the conference finals last year too. So to say, oh yes, we feel confident enough to put Toronto above them would perhaps be slightly overconfident. Who else are we considering as potential contenders in the East, Kamel?
Who's come in? I mean, I don't know what you think of Washington this year.
No, come off it.
No? Is that too far?
yeah. I think...
I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, those kind of teams haven't really... Orlando haven't really improved. Neither have Cleveland. So you've got those bottom feeder teams that always pop up the bottom of the East.
The Pacers obviously every year end up... Well,
falling off a cliff.
Yeah, they'll make their way into the top six. And they're a team that I always respect, but they always get overlooked pre-season because they're just, you know, they're not very sexy, are they?
Yeah, they're not the most exciting team.
But yeah, I mean, five or six seed. Of course, we have the Heat as well, don't we? We have the Heat.
Yeah, did you mention the Bulls already?
Yeah, I mentioned the Bulls. The Heat are a very interesting team. We'll probably discuss them in a future episode. But again, after how disappointing they were last year, and with Lowry now going there this year, they would probably internally be thinking to themselves, yeah, we can definitely challenge these big boys like we did 2 years ago. But I think for the Raptors, yeah, I'd be very happy if we got to the sixth seed, and I would be unhappy if we actually ended up dropping any lower than that, so somewhere around six.
Well, these first few games will be a great indicator of how they mean to go on, whether a buyer or a seller at the deadline. I would say, a must win at home against Washington today, but then you've got to go to Boston and you've got to host Dallas and Chicago, who of course, as we say, are probably top five seeds in either conference. And then you've got a couple of games against Indiana, which sandwiches, again, another sort of must win Orlando fixture. So we'll see the direction very soon, but for now, we can sort of give off some cautious optimism here in this camp. Very, very different to last season, or so we hope. Viral, it's been great to host once again. I've missed this.
It's been a long time. And the only thing I'm hoping for, forget wins and losses, I just hope we don't get the spate of injuries that we got like last season. And it'll be great, obviously, to be playing regular season games in Toronto again.
Exactly. The fans deserve it more than anyone. We'll see you next week.
Take care, everyone.